like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Real quick programming note, make sure I didn't do this in the last segment, I usually do, but tomorrow on the program, State Senator Greg Allbritt running for that congressional seat in the 2nd Congressional District, and Mark Shirey, my friend out in West Mobile in the state legislature, will get his take, his preview on the 2024 legislative session. That's just around the corner. So that and probably one other guest to be named later, yet to be determined. Joining us now, however, on the line, my pleasure to introduce Barry Moore. He's running in the 1st Congressional District here in our listening audience for the Republican nod, but he represents currently the Southeast Alabama Wiregrass area in the current, what's the currently the 2nd Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, we are doing good. Just trying to stay warm and hanging in here in Washington, D.C. this morning.
Well, let's kick it off here and talk about the race. I mean, we're in that 60-day window. What? How you feeling?
We're feeling great. The new poll came out this morning that has us in a 4-point lead, and I think that's similar to the polling we saw in October. And so we're excited because we haven't even started spending any money our opponent spent. I think right at $800,000 so far, and we just now going up on air this past week. So we feel really solid. I think our message is resonating. Our grassroots is working. We're in great shape in the Wiregrass area. The 6 of the 9 counties that we ought to represent, they are standing with us. And so now the object of the game is to get our name out in Baldwin County, let people know about our record, and let them make an informed decision, as well as in Mobile County and Escambia. And we just feel really good about what we're hearing.
Well, let's talk. You talked about the poll and having a slight edge. Some other things I thought were interesting in the poll, both you and Congressman Carl, very favorably viewed by the people in what will be the 1st Congressional District, according to the poll. But the thing that I thought was interesting, what issues are they concerned about? And I hear this both from you and Congressman Carl. It's border. It's border security. A majority of respondents are saying the border is of the utmost or the priority of concerns, and I assume that still remains the case.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I think it's interesting. I joined the House Freedom Caucus when I got here in January of 21, and Andy Biggs, who was chairman of the House Freedom Caucus then, said, Joe Biden is making some dramatic changes to Trump's policies on our southern border. We are going to have a crisis. Would y'all like to go out and visit? And so we went out, and the House Freedom Caucus, we were the first people on the ground in Arizona to start seeing and addressing the issues. And so we made a conscious decision to come back to Washington, D.C. and do a press conference in the Triangle and say, this is going to be a crisis for America. Now, as we saw last month, 302,000 people, a record in the history of this nation, have crossed into this country. And being on judiciary with Jim Jordan, we've had hearings in Yuma, Arizona. And so it now the American people see, I think we've known for some time, but now that Republicans are in leadership for a year now, we have to start taking some tough stands, Jeff. They're tired of the hearings. They want some accountability, and that's where we're headed with this process. And look, it is a crisis. It is impacting every American. It is going to increase crime. We're seeing the deaths of fentanyl overdoses, the competition for jobs, the education process, the burden it's going to put on health care. This is a tremendous issue that the American people are facing. We're taking it head on, and I'm glad to be a part of the team that got out early and said this has to be addressed, and now there is a crisis like we have not seen in this country that must be addressed.
The other concern was the economy and, you know, the left-wing media, the Biden administration, we're not getting enough credit on the economy. And, but I, you know, inflation being what it is and the job market being kind of upside down, and seemingly disconnected from a reality. But talk about the economy, especially as it pertains to the 1st Congressional District. And that being a concern to people, it seems like, I guess, by virtue of Republicans having that majority in the House, you've slowed down a lot of what the federal government was capable of doing to try to fix the economy, unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess I should say. But going forward beyond that, beyond this election cycle, I mean, what do you say to people when they say they're concerned about the economy?
First thing I said is we better vote for Donald Trump. You know, we understand that Joe Biden does not, he doesn't understand the private business sector. He doesn't understand, the only thing he understands is bigger government, more spending. And so, you know, every single one of us would be voted out, Jeff, if we said, oh, we're going to raise taxes on every American by 17%. But by printing money in Washington, D.C., we basically, you can do one, two things. You can print the money or you can tax the money. This invisible tax inflation that because we've printed money like drunk sailors, and I tell about that's actually an insult to drunk sailors, is there's some things we can do. Number one, elect Donald Trump. Number two, get spending under control and let the American economy recover from this process. And, you know, Ronald Reagan said it. He said the government's idea on the economy is when it's moving, they tax it. If it keeps moving, they regulate it. When it fails, it subsidizes it. I'm a firm believer if you will reduce taxes and get regulations out of the way, then the American economy, the people won't need the subsidies. They don't need to be dependent on us. We don't need to be picking winners and losers. We need to level the playing field, reduce the taxes and regulations, and let this economy recover. President Trump understands that. He's a businessman. I'm a businessman. We know what it's going to take to do this. Certainly Biden does not understand that. He gets his checks from China, not from working in Arno.
What did you make of Monday night Iowa dominating performance from the president? I know you... the entire delegation at this point has endorsed Trump's re-election, but another term for Donald Trump as it stands today. What did you make of this, and what do you expect going forward?
I think I'm certainly encouraged by it. You know, I was the first to endorse him in 2015, and I just felt like then that he was a man who could make a difference. The swamp is terrified of that guy. The media is terrified of him. The Democrats impeached him twice. I mean, they're trying to arrest him every other week. And it tells you that he truly is an agent of change for this swamp, this Washington, D.C. system that we're fighting. And so I'm encouraged that there's a mass of humanity. We talk about this, that shut down Bud Light, that took Jason Aldean's song. Try that in a small town, the number one. They're coming out. They're showing up in force. And Donald Trump is going to win the nomination, and he's going to be the next president of the United States. And that is great for this country. It's great for American citizens. It's great for the future of the world and the globe, because when America is strong, the world is secure. And we need him back in office. We would not have these things going on. And certainly energy policy. I mean, Joe Biden's energy policy is crippling the American economy. There's things that Trump can do. We can drill here. We can drill now. And we can rely on our own resources instead of Nord Stream 2 and Russia and China. There's things we can do to grow this economy, to break away from dependency on these people who hate us and want to take our money for their oil and then use it against us in weapon systems. We can fix this. Trump can fix this. And I'm encouraged by what we saw in Iowa. I hope the trend continues. I feel like it's going to.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore, the 2nd Congressional District, here on the program. Well, we got immigration and the border, and we have the economy. Tell me what else you're hearing. I know this comes up at every appearance you make, especially when Congressman Carl is there, but NDAA vote, and I think you two have stated very clearly where you are on that and why you did what you did. Is it resonating much when you're out on the trail?
You know, I tell you what is resonating. I was a no vote on the first NDAA, and I was a no vote on this last one because it reauthorized FISA, which allows the FBI to spy on U.S. citizens. And if we'd had all the good policy in there and they'd have still attached the ability for the FBI to spy on President Trump during an election year, I'd still been a no. But they stripped all the good stuff out, and they coupled it with this horrible FISA reauthorization. But, man, in these NDAs over the years, these vaccine databases that Jerry has supported, I cannot support that. But the billions to Ukraine, brother. We spent $115 billion in Ukraine, $223 million a day since March of 2022, while our infrastructure is crumbling down around us. They could have attached HR2 and secured the U.S. southern border with the remain in Mexico and do away with the catch and release. There's things we could have done. It was a missed opportunity. As the chairman of Homeland Security, Mark Green, who's an Army Ranger, also voted against it. There was a missed opportunity, but there's no restriction on abortion travel. I mean, there's transgender surgery still in there. The original NDAA was going to draft our daughters. I mean, there's just so many red flag laws in there for veterans who want to own weapons. There's things I cannot support, Jeff. And so, yeah, there is a difference in our votes, and there's a reason I'm taking the hard stand. And, yeah, I'm the veteran in the race, and certainly I would love to vote every chance I can. And the first original NDA in July, I supported, but when they stripped all the good stuff out and then attached this FISA reauthorization, It was too much for great Americans to accept. And there's a reason 160 Democrats voted with 140 of our Republicans to reauthorize this thing. Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden didn't let the ink dry good before it was signed into law that night. And that tells you that is not a win for the American people.
Congressman, what is at this point in time the what would be appropriate regarding U.S. foreign policy and Ukraine? Like, what? Because here it is, it's this problem, and we kind of agree, like, not another dollar until the border's secure. But if you isolate Ukraine by itself, what role, if any, should the United States play?
Well, you know, I think it has to be limited, but I think there's a spot that we have to say, this is a young democracy, and just because Putin's bad don't mean Zelensky's good, Jeff. I don't mean that he's a great guy, and we knew Ukraine was corrupt before we all started waving these flags and funding this war. And to me, it's an issue, too, of the credibility of the Department of Defense and SecDef, because they dropped the ball in Afghanistan in 2021 with that horrible withdrawal, $86 billion in equipment left behind. And then within 180 days, we're going to trust them with billions of dollars to send in Ukraine to a young democracy that we know that was corrupt. I mean, that's where Burisma was, Jeff. And so we have now spent twice as much money in Ukraine as we did on all the roads and bridge projects in America last year. And this money's going over there with no oversight. It's going to fuel corruption. There is a limited role, but I think for us, we have to now get some accountability and just quit sending money overseas. Keep it here for our country, replenish our resources, and certainly there's other allies on the planet that are going to need some help. We've got to be able to stand and help them as well. We can't be standing here on our heels with no weapon systems, depleted resources and reserves, and say, oh, by the way, we're just going to keep sending the money to this young country in Europe and hope that they can manage their border when ours is wide open.
So what is that? We cut back on the money. If you're president right now and you've got it, do you not do anything? Where is that needle in your view?
I think we have to say not another dime, and then you start working on negotiating for peace. And again, Trump will resolve this. Trump will have peace over there. He says within 48 hours. I think that that's the key, Jeff. We just can't keep sending this money to these foreign countries with no accountability. We know it breeds corruption. We've seen that time and time again. And it's difficult for us to say, yeah, we want to fund Zelensky and continue to send money over there when, again, we have a wide open southern border here and our infrastructure is crumbling down around us. That is not America first policies.
Well, now there are the other one, I guess, is Israel, but you view that differently.
Well, I do, because Israel, we've sent more money to Ukraine in 36 months than we've sent to Israel almost since their beginning in 1948. Think about that. And they're an ally in the region. They've been an ally of ours for a long time. And, you know, it's as clean, it's as simple as Genesis 12:3. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed as a nation. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed as a nation. I think it's imperative as America that we stand with Israel. We have to stand strong with Israel. We have other treaty requirements in other areas, but there is no question in my mind that Israel is a nation that is a dear ally to ours. And when I was over there, I met with Benjamin Netanyahu late last year. And, you know, those weapons are defensive weapons. They have reactive armor on their tanks. They have an Iron Dome. I mean, they're all defensive. And I think it's important that we allow them to continue to defend themselves. They are one of the most strategic allies in the region, and we've got to help Israel.
Well, let's kind of wind it down on this, and you've been saying this in your appearances every now and then, but talk about, like, the getting the country back on track in a sustainable, fiscally disciplined way versus the, you know, bringing home the big projects, the pork barrel spending and all of that. And you're one of those right now, you're saying, look, we can't do both. You got to make up your mind. Do you want to do this for the good of the country or for the good of the district? And there's a balance there, right?
Absolutely. You don't want to benefit Alabama and cripple the nation. There has to be a balance, Jeff. And government doesn't create anything. We may say, oh, we're sending money here and there and that and the other. But every time we say we send $10 million to Alabama, $50 million goes to New York, $40 million goes to California. You know, so it's like to say, oh, I brought home the bacon. But I say this all the time. You cannot bring home the bacon and save the nation. It comes in tax policy and economic opportunity. When I was in the state legislature, as vice chair of small business and commerce, We brought the bills, the tort reform bills, and I chaired the committee that helped bring Airbus to Alabama. We brought Polaris to Alabama. We brought Remington to Alabama. Company after company came to Alabama. We moved it to one of the top performing states in the nation because we had land, labor, and climate that was conducive to economic growth. The issue is government does not create anything. Every time we print a dollar and hand it out, it creates inflation. It cripples the American consumer. My number one job is to protect your liberty and not bury our children and grandchildren in debt that we cannot pay back. Brother, we just passed $35 trillion on January 10th. It only took us 105 days to go from $34 trillion to $35 trillion. We've got to get a handle on spending. Next to the border, I think spending is the number one existential crisis that will impact America and cripple us as a nation going forward if we do not get a handle on it. And again, getting government out of the way is the solution. Printing money, we create nothing but trouble.
Congressman, we'll leave it there. But before we let you go, folks want to find out more about your campaign. They want to find out more what you're about, find out who you are, especially since you're kind of new to this listening area. How can you do so? How can they do so?
Yeah, Barry Moore, Republican for Congress, is one of our campaign pages. We have U.S. Rep. Barry Moore if his constituents are needing help as well. So there's a lot of ways to find us on social media, and usrepbarrymoore.com, I think, is our webpage. Go in there and check us out, and please let us know what we can do to help. But, Jeff, thank you for having me on, and I appreciate you as always.
Congressman, we look forward to it. We'll get you on again next week. Thanks for making time.
Thank you.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We shall return. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. That his face to the red, the larger that portal wouldn't be. Have a good time. And then one day a wealthy customer bought the Indian maid. He took her oh so